Hello, folks. Welcome to Sands Episode 10 for the newsletter from this past Friday, the 25th. It's Sands News Bites, annotated news update from the leader in information, security, training, certification, and research. April 25th, 2025, Volume 27, Number 32. If you would like to see what might have been covered on the blog, you may visit jaredtech.help. And remember that a link to the newsletter is at the end of your show notes for this episode. Here is your table of contents. Top of the news items include flawed SSL.com DCV issues unvalidated certificates. Blue Shield of California shared 4.7 million members' data with Google Ads. Verizon 2025 data breach investigations report. And now, here is the rest of the news. FBI Internet Crime Report 2024, CISA Industrial Control Systems Advisories for Siemens, Schneider, and ABB, Spanish water supplier target of cyber attack. State Bar of California discloses some bar exam questions were composed with AI help. Marks and Spencer responds to cyber incident. Abilene, Texas, disrupted by cyber incident. Healthcare brief. PIH Health to pay $600,000 for HIPAA violations. Breaches at Yale New Haven Health, Frederick Health Medical Group, Bell Ambulance, and Alabama Ophthalmology Associates affect millions of people. I decided not to put anything in to the notes from the editors, but you can read what the editors have to say by finding a link to the newsletter in the show notes. So let's go ahead and start with the top of the news. And our first item, flawed SSL.com DCV issues unvalidated certificates. Certificate Authority, SSL.com, has revoked 11 certificates after a researcher reported a bug in a domain control validation DCV method that would allow a user to erroneously validate their ownership of the domain of their verification email address. SSL.com allows DCV establishment via email challenge response, including validation through a DNS text record, but the site's implementation of this method mistakenly adds the domain name of the user's email address to their list of verified domains, allowing a user to then request certificates for that domain. Fraudulently obtained TLS certificates could be abused to create spoofed phishing sites to decrypt HTTPS traffic and enable man-in-the-middle attacks and more. There is no evidence the now-revoked certificates issued using this bug were obtained maliciously. SSL.com has temporarily disabled this DCV process until the flaw is fixed and will issue an incident report by May 2nd. And at the time I am recording this, May 2nd will be on Friday, and we'll just have to see how things go. None of this is perfect. To be honest, I don't even know how my certificate stuff works. I do know that it is automated, and I know that it can be very interesting.
Hello, hello, yellow.
Did you tell her that you're having other people that are trusted to do this? So you told her that I have a file on you, and Michael Kaiser has a file on you, but you told her that you had others.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they have the right to call him and straighten it out with him that he does have a public number on his account, so they can definitely call him and deal. He may not like it too much, but...
Well, she does. She can call numbers until she gets a voicemail that belongs to him. She can tell him they need to talk to him and to call back a number. If he doesn't, then that's more on him. That's going to hurt him more than you.
Well, the problem is that, like I said, he's not organized.
Yeah.
He's not organized, and he didn't... If he would have seen the email, he could have easily disputed it, and they could have said yes or no, and that would have been it. But, you know, creating 20 email accounts in 10 years is not necessarily going to solve anything.
And did you tell her that the 20 accounts may have been created in the span of, you know, 10, 20 years?
So it is confirmed that all of these accounts have been created within the last 20 years.
In how many years?
Yeah, that's definitely...
What do the terms of service say?
Just as I told you.
But they can't stop you from creating a second or a third email for various reasons. Like, you want a business email and you tie it to a domain because Gmail has one of the best spam filters in the country, you know? Maybe you have a third for signing up for, you know, online stuff.
25.
But, like, okay, so could somebody in theory have one for personal, one for business, and say one for signing up for things online that they don't trust? And as long as they only have one Google Voice number, I don't see a problem with that. Because there are people, I know of people, who have more than one Gmail. And they use them all for different purposes.
Well, each Gmail has its own Google.
That's what I'm telling you, is that
they don't mind if you have two or three, if they're for different purposes. But creating them and letting them sit there and assigning numbers to them should, yeah. Because you only really need one phone number. I only have one phone number. When mine got disconnected, I told them I didn't know what happened. I don't know anything. I was just texting with it and only called one number recently, and I don't know what happened. And they just reviewed it, turned it back on, and said nothing. Because I've only had one account. I've had this one, you know, whatever, 15 years. When you brought up what? That's a big problem. Even if we don't read the terms of service, that one, maybe two email accounts, one Google Voice, maybe, but...
Blue Shield of California shared 4.7 million members' data with Google Ads. Health insurance provider Blue Shield of California has posted a notice of a data breach discovered on February 11th, 2025, also disclosing in a legally required report to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, that approximately 4.7 million people will be notified their data may have been exposed. No attack nor threat actor was involved. Blue Shield had been using Google Analytics, quote, to internally track website usage of members who entered certain Blue Shield sites, end quote, and discovered that between April 2021 and January 2024, the service, quote, was configured in a way that allowed certain member data to be shared with Google's advertising products, Google Ads, that likely included protected health information, end quote, making this a possible breach of HIPAA compliance. Sensitive member data that may have been leaked and subsequently used in focused ad campaigns targeting members as a result include, and by the way, this will be in quotes, insurance plan name, type and group number, city, zip code, gender, family size, Blue Shield assigned identifiers for members' online accounts, medical claim, service date and service provider, patient name and patient financial responsibility, and, in more quotes, find a doctor, search criteria and results, in parentheses, location, plan name and type, provider name and type, end parentheses, end quote. Social security numbers, driver's license numbers, and banking and credit card information were not involved. Blue Shield disconnected Google Analytics from Google Ads on its sites in January 2024 and is reviewing its sites, quote, to ensure that no other analytics tracking software is impermissibly sharing members' protected health information, end quote. The notice encourages members to be vigilant reviewing and protecting their accounts and credit reports. And I ought to ask a very serious question about now. If all of this was found out and they disconnected the analytics in January of 2024, then explain to me why it took a year and let's just call it 5 months because it's almost May to tell us about the issue and what you did about it. This doesn't make any sense to me. This is like some of the other breaches we've talked about on the security box as of late. And I really don't understand why it should technically take this long to tell anyone about a data breach, let alone HHS, a data leak, or what have you, is something we need to know as soon as possible so we can protect ourselves. Knowing a year and 5 months after the fact is not going to solve anything. In fact, it could have hindered us more than you think. If you've read this, please let me know what you think. I think this story should have your moron of the podcast, and I'm sure that it will be brought up as part of a TSB for discussion. Oh boy. Verizon 2025 data breach investigations report. Among the highlights of Verizon's 2025 data breach investigations report, 30% of breaches involved third-party entities, double the figure from the previous year, while 44% of breaches involve ransomware, the number of organizations that refused to pay the ransomware demand was 64%, up from 50% 2 years ago, and the average ransomware payment was $115,000, down from last year's average of $150,000. The report data are drawn from incidents that took place between November 1st, 2023 and October 31st, 2024. And to this, I say, this is great news. The fact that the ransomware payments are going down, yes, it's still a lot of money. We're still talking about $115,000. But I tell you what, it could be a lot higher. And we predicted that ransomware payments were going to be much higher. And reports like this are good. And I would like to see them talk about more of these reports when they become available. I honestly don't know if I would necessarily want Verizon to do all of the reporting, but if there are other reports that significantly tell us this kind of story, then this is something that we need to hear. And I am very happy to share this kind of news with our audience. And I don't know if anyone in our audience has ever had to pay a ransom of any kind, whether it is by crypto, which it is now, or by other means, as ransomware, while it hasn't been around a long time, ransoms themselves have been around for years. In fact, your criminal could abduct you and tell your family to give them X amount of money, maybe in cash. That would be considered kidnapping for ransom. And in some cases, police departments have been able to come up with the cash and be able to work with the victim to say, here's some cash, we're gonna be here, and they could then, you know, take the suspect in custody and charge them with whatever they were charged with. Everybody was safe. The money never left the hands of the police and were given to the perpetrator for very long, if at all. Want to contact the Jared Reimer Network? Feel free to contact the Jared Reimer Network by sending an email to tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. And you can also visit the main website of the Jared Reimer Network to learn more about Jared by visiting jaredreimer.net. Ladies and gentlemen, these podcasts, like this one, is available for you free of charge. But if you like the content and what we're trying to give you as an educational tool, no matter whether it's TSB, the security box, as I call it, for short, as TSB is, this podcast, Sans News Bites, and or the technology blog and podcast, if you are able to donate, feel free to do so. There's a page that gives information about how to do that on the blog. And or if you can't find that, just go to jaredreimer.net and select our donations page. We take PayPal and we take every major type of credit card. Here is the rest of the week's news. FBI Internet Crime Report 2024. In 2024, the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, received reports of losses incurred from cyber attacks totaling $16.6 billion, mostly from fraud and ransomware. And I'll stop and say that that's a B with billion, $16.6 billion. This marks a 33% increase over 2023 reported losses. Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI's Cyber Division, Cynthia Kaiser, told reporters that the figure is not representative of total losses to cybercrime, as not all cybercrime is reported to contact law enforcement. Ransomware, was the largest threat to critical infrastructure organizations. In all, IC3 received nearly 860,000 complaints in 2024. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is a lot of money to lose. Which is why we have tried to tell people that they should really be paying attention to where they click. On emailhostsecurity.com, we have a link to the page on the technology blog and podcast blog where we give you instructions on how to check those links as someone with a vision impairment. We also, on that same page, give those who are sighted tips on what to look for and the fact that when you hover your mouse over a link, like click here to pay this invoice, it will actually give you the web address. If the web address looks suspicious enough, log into your website that it's purporting to be, check to see if there's anything that needs payment, and take care of it there. Don't assume that the email that you are dealing with is legitimate, even if it does identify you by name. We've seen a lot of varying things these days, and some of them nowadays might do the proper things to trick you. Look at the email address. Verify and see if the domain is matching what they're purporting to be. For example, if you get an email claiming that you spent $1,000 on a PayPal purchase and you go to PayPal and that purchase is not in your account, then that is definitely something to be suspicious about. Those emails, for the most part, even if it somehow redirects you to PayPal, start with some other top-level domain that may redirect you somewhere else. Capture the data, and then maybe send you off to PayPal to make it look legitimate. But in fact, you just handed over your data. We've talked about things of this nature on a regular basis on the Security Box. And before it became a thing, I've talked about it numerous times on my tech podcast. And if you want certain episodes of the tech podcast that may not be available to you, then please feel free to contact me. Let me know what number you're looking for, and I will make sure to get it to you, because sharing knowledge is power, and that's what these podcasts will be trying to do. Share the knowledge. Talk about what people are reading, people are saying, and make sure that people understand what they need to look for. CISA, Industrial Control Systems, advisories for Siemens, Schneider, and ABB. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has published Industrial Control System, IDS, advisories regarding vulnerabilities affecting products from Siemens, Schneider Electric, and ABB. The Siemens advisories address multiple SQL injection vulnerabilities and an improper handling of length parameter inconsistency issue in Siemens telecontrol server basic. The Schneider advisories address an information exposure vulnerability in Schneider Electric Weiser home controller WHC5918A and an incorrect calculation of buffer size issue in Schneider Electric Modicon M580 PLC's BMENOR 2200H and EV Link Pro AC. The ABB advisory addresses multiple improper input validation vulnerabilities, an improper restriction of operations within the bounds of a memory buffer vulnerability, and an out-of-bounds write vulnerability in ABB MV drives. I say, good job. Keep up the great work. Make sure that you put up pop-ups if you're able to on these devices, and if they're connected to an operating system, pop that balloon up and tell people they need to update these things, because all all of this sounds pretty bad, and we know how long it takes these days to be able to go ahead and get these things done. I would hate to see a lot of these take 5 to 10 years, exaggeration included, to fully patch. Spanish water supplier, target of cyber attack. The computer systems and website of Spanish water supplier AIGUES, so this will probably be Aguas de Marto, experienced a cyber attack. The company, which oversees both drinking water and sewage systems for the town of Machuaro, says that while billing and other administrative services have been disrupted, their quality control systems were unaffected by the incident. They have notified customers that their personal information may have been compromised in the attack. And I say, that's good. From what I read from those comments in there, you want to make sure that your personnel data and your equipment that powers, you know, the sewage and the drinking water and all of that are segregated. And it sounds like they've done that, because all of that was never affected. And while it's sad that billing and other personal data may have been compromised, that's the worst of our worries. We don't want another Florida problem where it was reported that somebody had moved a mouse on somebody's working computer to change a setting that could basically compromise the drinking water. State Bar of California discloses some bar exam questions were composed with AI help. Earlier this week, the State Bar of California disclosed that AI was used to construct some of the multiple choice questions on the bar exam that was administered in February. The State Bar of California writes that the questions were developed with the assistance of AI and subsequently reviewed by content validation panels and a subject matter expert in advance of the exam. The admission follows weeks of complaints about the February exam, including reports of test takers being thrown off online testing platforms, screen lag times, error messages, typos, and confusing questions. The Committee of Bar Examiners, CBE, has recommended that score adjustments be made for the February exam. And it sounds like, from what I can gather from the comments, AI will be here to stay. And it sounds like they did the right thing by cross-checking everything and making sure that it made sense and that the answers, when marked correct, were done so by those who know, because they can tell those who grade them what the correct answer should be. And of course, maybe they did rewrite the questions, but it sounds like this is what's going to happen. And as far as I'm concerned, they did the best they could to make sure that everything was copacetic. Deal with subject matter experts and make sure the question made sense. I did not cover this one. I did spot it on Bleeping Computer, but I don't think any of our listenership is involved in this, so I just decided to skip it. Marks and Spencer responds to cyber incident. Marks and Spencer Group, PLC, M&S, a UK-based multinational retailer, filed a notice with the London Stock Exchange, LSE, on April 22, 2024, disclosing a cyber incident. And if I'm reading that right, because I took it directly from the newsletter, I'm asking the same question. Why did it take a year, and now we'll call it 3 months, for us to even be notified of the issue? Hello? M&S has reported the incident to relevant authorities and the National Cybersecurity Center and is working with third-party experts to investigate, noting that stores remain open and the website and app are operational despite minor temporary changes to their store operations. A further update the following day on the company's website specifies that M&S has proactively taken some processes offline, contactless payments, and click and collect orders are currently suspended, and online order deliveries may be delayed. A spokesperson has since told TechCrunch that contactless payments are working again. Details of the nature and the scope of the incident have not been disclosed. And again, I don't know. This thing said 2024. I did not change any of the text. So if this happened in 2024, shame on you. I don't understand why it took this long to get anybody notified. And it's saying here that you are having contactless payments and these issues, yet then you're saying that these issues are resolved, and yet it's a year later. Those were my thoughts when I heard Jaws read it, and all I did was copy it from Notepad the way it was and put it into this Braille file. Something just doesn't make sense to me. Abilene, Texas, disrupted by cyber incident. The city of Abilene, Texas, published a notice on April 18, 2025, informing residents of IT disruptions and ongoing investigation in the wake of a cyber incident. After officials received reports of unresponsive servers within their internal network, by the way, that's in quotes, the city disconnected affected systems as part of their incident response plan, notified relevant authorities, and has engaged third-party cybersecurity experts to analyze the incident. Certain systems remain offline, such as credit card payment systems at government offices, emergency services, and online water utility payments are fully functional, but past due accounts will not be shut off. Computer systems and telephones are still being restored, and response to service requests may be slow. The notice anticipates weekly updates with additional details. Well, Texas, I guess it hasn't been a good year from what I've read. This isn't the first time. And I know that your cities want to manage everything, but I think I agree with the comments in the newsletter that maybe it's best for your state to take over and try and get things under control. Healthcare brief. PIH Health to pay $600,000 for HIPAA violations. Breaches at Yale New Haven Health, Frederick Health Medical Group, Bell Ambulance, and Alabama Ophthalmology Associates. And I think this is Associates. I didn't write it this way. But it affects millions of people. They put ASSOCOACTES. So I don't know what this is supposed to be. I think this is supposed to be Associates. And so I am going to call it that. California-based PIH Health will pay $600,000 for multiple health insurance portability and accountability act HIPAA violations stemming from a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights, HHS OCR, investigation into a 2019 phishing incident. Breaches recently reported to HHS OCR include Yale New Haven Health System, more than 5.5 million individuals affected, Frederick Health Medical Group in Maryland, 934,000 plus individuals affected, Milwaukee-based Bell Ambulance, 114,000 individuals affected, and Alabama Ophthalmology Associates, again, they spelled it the same way, 131,000 plus individuals affected. The editorial board of Sans News Bites include Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elge, David Halter, Ed Scoutis, Gal Spencer, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Vatranot, William Hugh Murray. And before we give you Sans mailing address, I will say about that last story, this is unfortunate. They're right. We haven't seen a lot of HIPAA violations, but we've seen some pretty big breaches at the healthcare industry. Should that not be HIPAA violations? Sans Institute, 11,200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. And you can contact Sans at support@sans.edu if you want to subscribe to their newsletter and or leave comments. I'm interested to hear what you have to say. So email or iMessage JaredRimer at 986themix.com. You may text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. And I am looking forward to hearing what you have to say. I didn't give this number out earlier, but you may also leave a message on the comment line at 888-405-7524. For all intents and purposes, we're now caught up as Sans News Bites was delivered on Tuesday, the 29th, and within the coming days, we'll be doing our best to issue 11 of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and make it a great day.